Welcome to the scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I'm here talking to Erin Walker of Stolas Botanicals. She is a textile artist. Erin, tell me a little bit about exactly what you do and how you got started.
So the textile art form that I do in specific is I make dyes out of plants, preferably plants that I'm foraging, so going out into nature and collecting things like acorns, black walnuts, sumac berries, goldenrod flowers, and then distilling those down to their colors and transforming clothing from being plain and white into being colorful. And it's wearable nature art is how I view it.
I love that. And how did you kind of get started with that?
So the interest actually started with plants themselves less than with material. I'm really into foraging and plant identification, botany. I really enjoy the folklore that is surrounding plants. And I started by educating on lore surrounding plants, history of plants, and that sort of thing. And this just kind of was a natural evolution of that, of going from being very knowledgeable about plants to being able to turn that into something that was an art form.
That's really interesting. So when you're researching, like, what will do what colors and everything, I can imagine you, are you looking back at, like, different history books and things? Because, I mean, that's what they did in the 1800s, is if they wanted something with a color to it, they had to use plants. So,
yes, I definitely love to read about the history of the plant. Sometimes I do things that are a little bit more themed, like, more when I'm buying the materials, like buying pomegranate rinds or madder root. I love the history of, like, the parts of the world those were used in. And then when I go out and forage, it's a lot of history also with, like, how Native Americans use plants that grow here that are native, like the black walnut, acorns, those kinds of things. I really like the actual mystical, like, people's imagination surrounding the plant and how that plant works.
Okay. I can kind of get that, like, how people, like, sort of how they relate to something, or how, I don't know, like, indigo is built up in their head as something, like, super amazing and something like that.
Right. But, yeah, like, to me, the plants have personality, and it's kind of a weird way to word it, but I believe that personality is expressed by the way that people viewed that plant throughout history.
Okay, that's really cool. I love that because, I mean, I'm a nature photographer, so, like, outdoors is my safe space. That's my happy place. And it is. I mean, I have trees that I'm like, oh, hey, tree, and they're my favorite tree, and, like, I will literally say hi to them, and it has a personality of its own, and so I get that. Like, some people look at you like you're a little crazy when you do it, but that's okay. We're all a little crazy. We're artists.
Yeah, I'm very fascinated by certain plants that have history all over the world, but every group that has encountered them has come up with a similar story surrounding that plant. Things like elderberry. We have elderberry. Like, we have a shrub in North America, whereas compared to in Europe, they have trees, but the lore surrounding that is actually super similar, even though there's an ocean between them. So I view that plant as having there's a reason that it incites this certain story in people's imagination, and that's how I like to get to know plants.
Oh, that's really interesting. So what's the story there with that one specifically?
So
short version.
The short version, yes. So there's a lot of lore surrounding elderberry, of it connecting this world to either the underworld is some of it, the fairy world is some of it. There are superstitions that if you fall asleep under an elderberry bush on All Hallows Eve, you will actually end up, your body will wake up, but your soul will stay in the fairy realm.
That's something I'm into, and I might just try that out myself since that's coming up in about a week or so. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Erin Walker.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, sit a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
We're back on the scene, and I'm here today talking to Aaron Walker. Aaron, so clearly you've self-taught yourself a lot with what you're doing. Have you ever taken art classes? Have you taken classes in textiles? How have you really developed this into a craft and not just a hobby?
I have not had the opportunity to take any classes. There are definitely people out there that have more skills than I do that I would love to learn from, but I am completely self-taught. It was about a year ago, a little over a year ago, that I did my first batch after wanting to do this for years and years and years. And I had to really break up with my toxic relationship that I had with perfectionism and accept that I was probably going to mess up quite a few times. And I went and picked elderberries, and I made this beautiful dye bath that smelled amazing and got this gorgeous pink color, and then all of it rinsed out of my material. And then I accidentally turned it green, and it was just a mess. But I was very proud of myself because I finally went for it, and the next batch I did was goldenrod, and I got a beautiful yellow that stayed. And after that, I was just addicted to finding all the colors that I can get out of nature.
I love that, and it's so true. Like, it's so easy to get focused on perfectionism and wanting to be amazing at what you're doing, even when you're just starting. And we all need to remind ourselves, like, no, there's a learning curve. Like, it's okay to not be perfect. And I feel like with what you're doing, you're probably going to have a lot of happy accidents. You might think you're getting a beautiful pink color, but then it ends up being a little lighter. Or, hey, it turns green. Who cares? Green is pretty, too.
I've definitely had a few articles of clothing that I've made that I was not happy with. It wasn't anything I wanted. I was very frustrated. And then those were the ones that were more popular than the items that went the way I wanted. And I was able to sell them. So I've definitely had to embrace making mistakes in order to learn this craft, and said I'm very proud of myself because it took a long time for me to even branch out to do this. It was hard for me to take that plunge.
Well, absolutely worth it, because from what I've seen of all your work, it is beautiful. I know you can find it Jimmy Riley's new place, The Angry Ironsmith in Sparta, correct?
Yes. He just opened that recently.
Yes, so that's definitely somewhere to check out. Jimmy's been on the show before actually talking about the opening up the shop. I haven't been down yet, and I really need to get down there. But for everyone else, make sure you go check that out. What are you working on right now? What's your project? Anything specific, or just kind of seeing where the plants take you?
So this is easily the busiest time of year is the fall, because there is so much falling off of trees that I can make dye out of, or the last burst of wildflowers that I can make dye with. So I have been pretty busy in the last month. Right now I'm working on making a spooky line, like a more spooky colors clothing that I've collected over the last year that have things like skulls on it or jack-o'-lanterns, so that I can get that out before Halloween and make a Halloween drop, which that'll be on my Instagram. That I'll do a drop on Instagram. Currently, I do have stuff, though, for sale at the Angry Ironsmith, as well as the Silver Fern in Cookeville.
Also one of the super amazing supporters of art here, and such a fun store to go wander around in, because I want everything and can't afford all of it, unfortunately. I know you said you get your inspiration, obviously, from nature and from the folklore and everything. Any other real sources of inspiration? Like, do you sometimes just, like, see someone wearing a color and be like, ooh, I want to try and duplicate that or something like that?
Yeah, I see white clothing, and the urge that I have to just make it a color is very, like, I can't look at white clothing the same anymore. Every time I see it, I'm like, ooh, I can make that a different color. So there's definitely that. I also really enjoy about it, not just the nature aspect. I actually like the chemistry aspect of it a lot. So you can slightly change your pH balance, or you can add iron, or you can add copper, et cetera, to your dye baths and get a completely different color, which is how I accidentally turned my elderberry green by adding soda ash. So that aspect of it is extremely satisfying. I feel like an alchemist.
Love that. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Erin Walker. Welcome back to the scene. I'm here talking to Erin Walker of Stolas Botanicals today. Erin, the Upper Cumberland area has been really supportive of art. I feel like there's so many artists here of so many different crafts and techniques. How has that either helped you or influenced you as you've started really doing this the last year?
So this is something that I could not possibly talk about enough. It is the only thing that has kept me going at times, is how encouraging people have been in this area. Setting up at like Hicks Brewery, doing pop-up shops there, and just the encouragement that I get from the artist community in Cookeville is something that at times when I've been discouraged and I get that one person messaging me and being supportive and appreciating what I'm doing has made all the difference.
I definitely agree. It's when I was first starting out a few years ago, I was like just constant, like, what am I doing? No one's going to like me. Everyone's going to hate my stuff. This is going to be terrible. And it just takes like one or two people to be like, no, you're fine. Like, I've been there. It's hard. You'll get through it. And like the encouragement and the fact that it's not competitive. Like, as many artists as we have here, like, everyone is encouraging. No one is like, oh, no, I do what you do and I do it better. No, it's, I've been doing what you're doing. Let me help you get better. Like, I don't think that's a normal thing. I think that's, like, pretty localized to this area.
I definitely agree with that. Because, I mean, I've met people in this area that do textile art that are more, hey, let's collaborate, you know, what are you doing differently than what I'm doing, and just want to, like, talk about it and be supportive. And the amount of people I've had just in my inbox going, telling me about festivals that are going on that I wouldn't have known about otherwise, so that I can go there and compete with them at the end of the day, right? But it's not about that. It's about people helping each other out, because I think the unique thing about this artistic community is we're all rooting for each other, and I absolutely love that.
I do too. It just gives me the warm fuzzies just to think about it.
I cannot gush enough about it, because it has really been a positive influence in my life over the past year that I've been trying to do this.
And how do you think you've been received by the community in general, like the people who are coming to the pop-ups and things like that?
I think people are always really excited for me to be able to talk about what I'm doing, and they're pretty fascinated by it. A lot of people don't think about making dye out of plants anymore because it's not a very well-known craft, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people are very interested in that aspect of it. And I also do, like, plant identification walks and stuff, so I get to use my botanical knowledge and my foraging knowledge to help people that are interested in that piece of it. And I love doing that.
Oh, that's really fun. Like, some classes, you could do some classes on, like, what will, like, make what colors and stuff. That would be so much fun. I would totally take that class. So, speaking of all the local artists, do you have any favorites, local or otherwise?
So, locally, I don't think anybody would believe me if I said a different name. So, I'm going to just go with Raven of Raw Art. I own entirely too much of her artwork, so.
She's incredible. So,
yes.
I mean, yeah, absolutely no judgment here.
I think I have, like, two stickers by her on my laptop, like, two on my tablet, three on my water bottle. Like, it's a little silly, but. And she's been there for me as I've been trying to, like, build this up. We've set up a lot together, so. Her, as far as famous artists, I have a kind of different branch of art, so I don't know as far as textile artists go. My favorite artist, though, is actually Francisco Goya. He has very spooky, creepy paintings from Spain. He's from Spain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Also a fan. And also, like, it's spooky season, so it's
right.
really perfect to think about that right now. And last question, what is coming up for you? I know you're doing Art Prowl. Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at Vertical Coffee.
Okay.
I've been told possibly at their new location, so which is just across the street from where they're at now. I'm really, really excited about the Art Prowl. That's going to be on the 11th and 12th.
Of November, right. Yeah. And you can go to the Art Round website, artroundtennessee.com, to find out more about that. And Erin, what's your Instagram?
It is Instagram.com/Stolas_botanicals. Stolas is spelt S-T-O-L-A-S.
Perfect. Thanks so much for being on the show, and good luck at your first art prowl.
Thank you so much for having me.